Welcome to UCourseChurch.ca.
Hello, I'm preaching this week, and in attendance is Jill Trites. The audience. My audience of one, Jillian Trites. Jill is here. She's going to be here for the sermon this week because she's going to end this short reflection on Ascension Sunday with an activity, kind of a prayer activity that we can all take part in. And she wanted to just, we wanted to synchronize this up. So it's a little bit like last week. She can just shout in comments as she wants to. As I mentioned, we are going to be back in the book of Acts this week, but in a weird way, we're going to go back to Acts chapter 1. Thursday this week, the day that I'm actually filming this, is Ascension Thursday, which is then something we celebrate on this Sunday. And the Ascension is one of those doctrines that I feel like we don't always know what to do with. Maybe we understand what it means, like in the text. We understand that it happened, but we don't understand why it was so important. And so we're going to talk a bit about that this week. But to start this off, I wanted to share a reflection from Leanne Friesen, pastor at Mount Hamilton Baptist Church. And she was saying how she met a woman who was a pastor in Aleppo. And the woman talked about how before there was the wars in Aleppo, she pastored this small church, had a small building, wasn't a lot of passion, wasn't a lot of fire, wasn't a lot of energy. And then when the war broke out, she said suddenly there was a grand spiritual awakening. And as Leanne talked to her, this was a couple of years ago, she kept saying, what's it going to take for the church in Canada to wake up? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? What's going to be the moment that you wake up? She was describing how after the war began, there was this spiritual awakening, and after their building was bombed is when the community truly took off and grew in size and grew in passion. And she just kept saying to Leanne, when's your moment? And as I was talking about this with Leanne, she was saying maybe this is our moment for the church in North America, specifically the church in Canada, to wake up and step fully into what God's calling us to do and who God's calling us to be. But as I was chewing on all that this week, I found that as excited as I was about the new thing, I still had this feeling of grief. And so I'm going to throw it over to this week's scripture readers who are going to read the text, and then I'll offer a short reflection as we make some time for Jill to step in then and do an exercise with us. Take it away, readers.
Hi, I'm Rachel Gardner.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve.
My name is Adrian.
I've been coming to Eucharist Church since the end of last year with my partner, Drew.
I've been going to Eucharist since the beginning.
During this quarantine time, I have been spending a lot of time with family. We've been exercising a lot, getting out for a lot of bike rides.
My days are mostly filled with work. I am supporting public health as a communications professional with communications on COVID-19 out to the public.
Playing a lot of video games, learning a lot through Miles about video games, playing Barbies.
With my daughter.
I'm a stay-at-home dad of a two-year-old daughter named Jane, and my wife Sue is currently working from home. And our lives look a lot like other parents, I assume, during this time.
In my spare time, I have a lot of plants that I like to nurture, and I have two cats and like to do yoga.
Miles, what have you been up to?
Playing Fortnite, playing with my drones and riding my skateboard, and I'm really sad about school because I can't go there.
So a lot of monotony, a lot of the same thing every day, but also just like extreme gratefulness for those on the front lines doing important work and keeping us all safe.
So I'm going to be reading Acts 1 to verses 1 to 11.
In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day when he was taken up to heaven.
After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father.
This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied,
It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them.
They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven.
I think she did pretty good, eh, Daisy?
So this is one of those strange texts. You know, you've got this image of Jesus, and he's floating off, and they're watching him go, and it's just really weird, but also really important. The movement that Jesus is beginning would have been so crippled if he stayed on earth. Like, if Jesus continued to hang around in his resurrected body for another 50, 100, 500, 5,000 years, the movement around him would become a movement about a specific person in a specific culture and in a specific place. But for it to become a movement of global reconciliation, multi-ethnic, multicultural, all backgrounds, all ages, around the entire globe, living in every person, he had to physically leave in order for something new to come, in order for the Holy Spirit to fill that early church. Jesus in his embodied physical form had to leave them. So you get this moment where they're watching him go off, like, ah, into the beautiful sunlight. And then as they're staring, you have these angels saying, what are you staring at? Come on, like, he told you what's going to happen. He's going to come back. It's all going to be made new. So now get off to Jerusalem. You're going to receive the Holy Spirit. But I can't help but feel some sympathy for the disciples as they stare and watch him go off. In this text, we hear that there was 40 days after the resurrection where Jesus just hung out with them. And as much as Jesus to all of us can seem like Jesus, you know, the Lord, the Messiah, the teacher, the Son of God, for them, he was also their friend. He was someone who they cared about, somebody who they enjoyed being with. And the idea of your friend being killed is horrible, but then your friend comes back to life and you think, oh my goodness, we get to spend the rest of our lives with you, learning from you and hanging out with you and eating with you. And now he's ascending. And I can't help but feel that even though it's necessary for him to ascend, there still would have been some grief that they carry as they watch him go. I wonder if that's why they linger as he goes. Some of my very best friends just moved to Halifax, and I was helping them pack up, socially distanced, their big truck. And after we said goodbye, I sat in the car and I just, like, not like in a creepy way, but just in a really, like, heartfelt way, I just watched them close up the truck and get ready to leave. And I stared at them just thinking, nothing's ever gonna be the same. I'm never gonna see them in the way I do now. And it's good for them to go, like, I'm cheering them on, but my heart is still heavy. I feel like for many of us right now in this season of COVID and social distancing and everything that's being turned upside down, we see that good new things are coming. I continue to have conversations every day with people who say that they're excited about what they're learning in this time, and they're excited about what the future of our country and our culture and our churches might look like. And yet they also at the same time are staring up at the sky, kind of grieving what they're about to lose. I've talked to people who are excited about the idea of universal basic income, who are excited about the idea of living with less waste, living more simplified lives, people who are finding a work-life balance that they've never had before, other people who are finding that they've got new job opportunities, even just hearing the check-ins from different people. Jill, as we were talking about this, was mentioning Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. Last week mentioning that he was finding freedom not going back to the same old job he's always had. There were new doors opening, and I suspect so many of us feel this appreciation, this sense of family life balance, so many things clicking together in this time, and this weird, hard to articulate grief that everything we knew, including much of what we loved, is gone. I got to cut together a trailer for the new book I've got coming out, and the trailer was a bunch of footage of Eucharist at all these different times. And so I spent like all day yesterday just looking through footage and pictures and video of Eucharist over the years. And Maria and Zach posted some photos and video from their wedding, and I got to just see kids running through this space and everybody dressed up and cheering, and I just felt so much grief. And I'm a new ideas guy. I love the new. And I actually now feel what Leanne's friend, who's from Aleppo, what she felt about the church. I feel like this is a moment for the church in Canada. This might be the moment of our church life where we get to revitalize the church, not just Eucharist, but the wider church, where it goes into homes, where it goes into neighborhoods, where it becomes missional and embodied and gracious and radical, where the ownership of the church is held by the people. Like, this is an amazing opportunity, not just to go back to what was, but to go into what might happen next, to shift from having just a concrete presence of Christ into the Spirit filling all of God's people across the entire country. I love it. And I spent a long time lingering over old pictures and videos of Eucharist and celebrating, remembering everything that we had and everything that at this moment in time we've lost. And I guess I just want to say, as we enter into this exercise together, that if you find yourself in this time staring up into the sky, watching what was disappear, and maybe not even feeling all that excited about what might be coming up or feeling nervous about what might be coming next, that I don't think it's faithless to continue looking up. I know the angels say, why are you looking up at Jesus? Why are you looking up? Come on, you know what to do next. But I feel like the women and the men standing there looking up might have said back to the angels, just give me a minute. I'm watching something I love, someone I love, disappear. I'm giving thanks for all the time we've had. I'm just going to stay in this moment for a little while longer. And so as we enter into this exercise, I want to invite you to take an extra minute to think about all that we've lost in this time and to grieve it and even to celebrate it, to be able to feel thanksgiving for what we've had. And then when you're ready, to be able to lower your eyes back down again to the particular people and places you're called to love and serve. So I'm going to invite Jill in now to lead us through this prayer exercise.
At the beginning of his book, A Grief Observed, where C.S. Lewis talks about his experience of the grief of losing his wife, he starts the book by saying, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. I'm not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness, the yawning. At other times I feel mildly drunk or concussed. There's a sort of invisible blanket between the world and me. I find it hard to take in what anyone says, or perhaps hard to want to take it in. It's so uninteresting." And when I was reading that this week, I was really aware of how familiar that feels and how much I've heard people saying that same sort of thing over and over and over, that this experience feels like grief. And there is an element of grief. There is an element of, and in grief, I think there is sometimes an element of fear too. And as we think about this idea of ascension and moving on to something new, there is a sense that we need to come back to what we know about death and resurrection, that in some ways this we should have this by now, we should get this, we should understand this, and yet the fact that we know that the new comes out of the death of the old isn't something that we as humans take easily. And so that idea of letting go is hard for us. So we thought that we would just take a minute today to take us through an exercise. And I know that if you're sitting with your family, doing a little prayer exercise can feel weird because somebody's watching you. So I invite you not to look at each other and just take your own private moment. And what I want us to do is to think about, and I'm going to invite you to use this exercise in any way that feels helpful for you. As part of the letting go of the old and embracing the new, as Kev was talking about, is who are we as the people of God in this world? And what can we take, what can we let go of that was old, and what can we think creatively about what is new? So you may want to go through this exercise with that in mind, or it may be something that you choose to do personally for you, for whatever is happening for you right now. And the other point of doing an exercise like this is not necessarily that this next minute is going to be monumental for you, but to give you an exercise that you can take away and do when you're on your own, when you have some time, when you feel that you're really ready to have this exercise of what is it that I am mourning? What is it that I am grieving? What is it that I am worried that I'm going to lose or have lost? And how do I sit with that? How do I name it? Because we believe that there's value in naming grief, in naming sadness, in naming anger, and that if we don't name those things, if we don't own them, they just sit in our bellies and continue to impact us. So it's valuable to name it, and then it's valuable to say, and I release that. I let it go. I give it to God. I let it go. And I move my mind and my heart and my attitude towards the things that I have yet to receive. So what I'm going to ask you to do is start by just even putting your hands on your belly and just feeling the center of yourself and closing your eyes and just taking some deep breaths. And then I invite you to, with your eyes open or your eyes closed, to just look up. Put your face up. And look at the thing perhaps right now, whatever comes to mind for you, that you feel sad that is leaving you in some way. Something that you hold on to that is part of your life up until now that feels like you need to release it in some way, that you need to let it go. And I'm just going to take a minute and let us... I invite you to just feel free to take what comes as you think about that, that you invite Jesus to sort of show you the thing that you maybe need to think about watching leave. And then I invite you to, again, with open eyes or closed eyes as you choose, to look down. To look down to the ground, to look down at your lap, to look down at the things that are around you in the space that you're in right now. And make room in your mind for what is here, what is yet to come, what is possible, what is the next step for you, what is the next right thing. And I just invite you again to just take a minute to think about what that is. And part of that might be gratitude, although I think that gratitude isn't the answer. But it's also to just cast your mind to the possibility of what might be next. God, may we be a people who can name our grief and name our fears and allow ourselves to look into the sky and miss what is gone. But may we also be a people who hold on to the hope that in the truth that what has been taken is always only making space for that which is yet to come. And that you have good things for us, and you have good things for this earth, and you have good things for Eucharist Church, and there are possibilities ahead of us that can be exciting and new. God, please help us to not linger too long watching in the sky for something that is gone, but to bring our eyes to what we can accomplish now in this world with your spirit present and with the new opportunities that are ahead for us in weeks and months. God, help us to not be afraid. Just remind us of the hope that we have in you. Amen.